All right, quieting down now. Live from the Brit and Yankee Pub Studios. Another Brit and Yankee craft beer pubcast. I can hear the pints being pulled right now.
Knock the wild dune, bring the drums in, let's have a party. Pump up the bitter. Shh, test it. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter.
Take it away, lad. You are paying for that beer, aren't you?
Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter.
Yes, and welcome to yet another pubcast from the Brit and Yankee Studios. We are actually in the Brit and Yankee Studios today. We're not on the road, and I'm very, very happy to say that with me is a crew of brewers, consumers, taproom managers, oh, and me as well. Anyway,
why would you let you out?
Oh, guess who that is?
Who? Tell us, please.
Mike, it's the original Lingo, the original Yankee. Well, you were the original Yankee, not the original Lingo.
Yeah, no.
Well, welcome back to the pub there, Mike. This is pubcast number 345, and I'm titling this one, It's Not All Green for the Irish. And we're doing a little profiling of Irish Red Ale and Irish Stouts.
Yum.
And this was suggested by my brewer guest who has never been down to the pub studios before, and we'll come to him and his cohort in just a second. She's smiling. Everybody goes, ooh, we're usually down here in the man cave, but we have a woman down here now. Woo! Hey. No. I want to go over to the other side of the bar. Last in to the bar tonight was Mr. Chuck Fort.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello.
Good man. I love the way he comes in. Chuck, of course, is head brewer over at Church Street. And they've been known to brew an Irish red or two. And it's one of the styles that we're going to be looking at today. Over on the far side of the bar, standing up, Mr. Tom Ryan, an old work chum of mine, but neither of us work at the same place anymore. So, hey, we can diss them all we like.
We
right?
can.
Yeah,
we can.
Welcome, Tom.
Welcome. Thank you. I'm glad to be here and very happy these days.
I
can't quite figure out why, but
we'll take your hands out your pocket.
Seems like he's been that way for the last 3 weeks.
Playing a little pocket ball down there.
Yeah, it has been about 3 weeks, actually. Yeah. I've been.
There you go. Good man. And Tom is a big craft beer nerd, friends with Sean Curry up at Sketchbook Brewing. So he definitely... Oh, hello. Oh, we got the bellman back. Lovely.
Why don't you Santa while you're at it?
That's our, and before I introduce our main guest here, that's our sponsor's bell that we always ring whenever we talk about another brewery. This, as I say, this podcast was kind of a suggestion of our main guest's, and I say guests because we've got two of them here. Originally it was going to be one, but I'm very happy we've got two. So unfortunately Ken McMullen could not make it tonight due to family commitments, but even if he did, we would still have with us Steve Newman, who is going to be the owner, head brewer and general dog's body at a new brewery that's opening in, I think it's North Aurora, and that's Brother Chimp. So welcome, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming along and bringing your beers. So, and with him, I'm very glad to say, we have a little of the fairer sex down here, which is really good, because I always say that the female tongue tastes beer a lot better than the male tongue, and that is a proven fact. Welcome, Jessica, and I don't know your last name.
Voigt.
Voigt?
Yes.
Oh, do you know John?
Oh, man, that's... You know how many times people ask me that?
Well, I knew I had to do that.
Actually, I do know many John Voigts, but not the one you're talking about.
You got the same initials.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
Okay, well, welcome to the club.
Thank you.
Hopefully, everybody on who's listening to this is going to become fast friends with Jessica as they come and get beers from her when Brother Chimp opens.
Absolutely.
Now, I would like to say that this is not a Brother Chimp profiling podcast. That's yet to come. Steve, today you had your equipment delivered.
Yes.
And what about all the fermenters and everything? Hey, thank you very much.
Oh, they're all there. Everything is there and being plumbed as I'm sitting here.
Ooh, I say. Yeah. You got the plumbers in, have you? Did you do crack today?
No crack.
Oh, okay. So we met at a location in Batavia where my good lady wife does some work with another artsy-fartsy person, mm-hmm. and it's Water Street Studios, and you happen to be on the board of Water Street Studios. How the heck did you get on that? Are you an arty man?
So I actually sat down at my local pub with my dogs when neighbors of mine were coming back from a board meeting and noted my retired status and said, oh, you have time to be on the board. And I was really glad that they did, because Water Street Studios is really a wonderful arts organization, bringing it throughout the Fox Valley. They have classes, they have studios for resident artists, they do a new show the first Friday of every month, and it's really a good place for people to get out and see, and I'm very glad to have the opportunity to support
it. He's really selling it.
He is selling it. I'm glad he is. I like it.
They're great.
It should be sold.
That's the best advertising I've heard for that place since I've known it's been there.
And I have to point something out. I mean, you said that you got involved because you're retired.
Yes, that's what I said. Can I shake your hand on that one? Thank you.
You can, but to be clear, I was retired.
Now you're about to be a lot less retired.
On July 22nd of 2019, I signed a lease for the brewery. I told my wife on that day I was officially unretired.
Unretired, yeah.
Phil, I can't help but notice, you're still retired.
Yes, I am still retired.
For something to do, I would imagine.
I am busier than ever, though, I have to tell you. I have a lot of jobs and things and running around with the podcast and doing all that good stuff. So, but on the other hand, if anybody wanted me to come serve beer for them, I'd be quite available. Right. So let's get to the theme of this. That Steve, you and I had a conversation at the Water Street Studios, yes. And you said, hey, I've got I think it was sometime later, you said, I've got an Irish Red coming out. We should taste that, and an Irish Stout. I said, hey, how about close to St. Patrick's Day? So here we are. When this goes out, I think it's going to be the February the 29th, so we get an extra day, which actually, incidentally, is the day for the Naperville Winterfest, which is, by all accounts, going to be a bit of a chilly one. I've had some where it's been really, really cold, and some that have been really, really warm, so we're going to be serving beer. I'm going to be there serving beer for Hot Vime.
It's going to be in the 40s on Saturday.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Good.
It's going to be like 57 on Sunday. It'll be like 45... 47 on
So that's good.
Saturday.
I don't have to wear my long johns.
Your mucklucks.
I was actually thinking of wearing my Church Street. They've got one of those vests which are supposed to be warm. Yeah. You know, I was going to wear that one, but maybe I don't have to. That's a good thing. We are focusing, therefore, on some of the Irish styles, two of them to be precise, one being Irish Red Ale and the other one Irish Stout. And we have a number of local brews, and we've also got some classics in the background, but I really want to focus on the local brews. And so we're not going to come to yours first, Steve. We're going to squeeze you in the middle. Chuck, you have brought along something that's just been released up at Church Street, right? And that is...
Yes. Crimson Clover, Irish Red, Church Street, Brewing. There's a good
in a
sound
can.
Right there.
You got a nice part sound effect there. So how long have you been brewing this
Let's
up
see how
there?
The carb level is. Not too bad.
Yeah, the carb level is pretty good.
Yeah, we've been brewing that for, I think most of the time they've been open, they've had an Irish Red of some type or another. And we tweak it around a little bit, the recipe from time to time.
So what is the... I'm trying to even out these samples here. I can't do
so. Maybe I got a question. Yep. Hopefully, one of these guys would be able to answer it. What is the definition of a red?
Oh, thank you very much. I was just about to ask that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, you guys should host a show together or something.
It should be kind of reddish in color.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow.
That's a good
you,
start.
You are go. Brilliant, Chuck.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Thank you.
I always said I liked you.
Yeah. Hello. Chuck's got his little laser light out, and he's flashing up through
some clarity.
So when you do that, you put this light underneath it, and it doesn't look red. It looks orange.
Yeah.
But yours is
depends
a little hazy.
Depends how thick your glass is.
They're what?
Depends how thick your glass is.
Yeah. So when was this brewed? I mean, do you put dates on your things?
Yeah, about 2 months ago, I guess.
Oh, about 2 months ago? Oh, yeah. So it's old beer. But But does that matter for Irish reds? That's my question.
Well, it's not really old. I mean, it's like, you know, it takes about 22 days from the time you brew it to when you package it.
So apparently Irish red is just a name for a style that is a reddish amber brown, or not a reddish amber or brown ale that has got its roots in Ireland. And they don't actually call it Irish red out there. They just call it red ale. It's been around for quite some time, as we'll find out with some of the beers that we're hopefully going to sample. And in Wexford County in Ireland, that's a very hot spot for brewing beer. And they used to call it ruby ale. So, you know, I think the rubiness is not in this Crimson Clover. So let's first of all go to Lingo, because Lingo, this may be right up your avenue, because you're not a man who likes the hoppy beers, but you do like the malty types.
I do. Types. And this one, it's not real malty. It's very, very smooth. It's got a delightful mouthfeel. Mm. And it's not, you have a little bit of bitterness in it, but it's not.
It's appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. I love how how smooth it is. How it's not overly heavy. Some of the reds seem to I don't know what they're going for, but sometimes the taste is a little too much for a red, in my opinion. This is really nice. Mm. This is very smooth.
Wow, you got that one down your neck pretty bloody quick.
I did. I took one sip. I had to go back for another little swill.
It's a beer that people can drink and they won't get too messed up.
You know? It's well balanced.
What's the ABV on this?
It's only like 5.5, something like that.
What's probably like, wait a minute, aren't you supposed to legally know what it is? I love that. So, Jessica.
Yes.
What do you think? What type of beers do you like to drink, or are you kind of across the board?
I'm across the board. I like a little bit of everything. I do like maltier beers most of the time, but I like hops too. So
this should be good.
Yeah, this is great. I like it. Red's a little roastier, but this is very well balanced.
How did you get into craft beer?
I managed a homebrew shop for 15 years.
I wonder which one was it?
That would be Broken Bricks in St. Charles.
Ah, that's good. Ed and Mike Seaman.
Yes.
Thank you. And they're good guys out there. We did a show with them on cider. And then Mike cracked open his antique cellar of beers that had been sitting down somewhere.
And we he's got a great collection.
Oh, man, that was really cool. Yeah. So, you know.
That was Zemo's.
It was what?
That was Zemo's beers.
Zemo.
Yeah, he's got some of Zemo's beers.
Chicago Beer Society.
The late great Zemo.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's go over. We're going to leave Tom for the second, because we'll come back to Tom in a minute. Steve, what do you reckon on this one? Because yours is coming up next. So, of course, this is always a good try. You know, this is our baseline, right?
Yeah. So, very enjoyable, very drinkable beer. I think you'll find mine. I tend a little more towards the roasty side.
Oh, good.
So I think it'll be a nice little contrast to this. But I find it very drinkable and enjoyable, which is what I think a red should be. It should be an easy drinking beer.
And I have to tell you that reds were the least favorite beer that I like to drink. And I think the reason for that is because of one of the first reds, the Irish reds that came out. Anybody remember what that was?
Killian's.
Thank you. Yeah. So apparently George Killian did brew a beer back in Ireland, and somewhere along the line, Coors and those guys got involved in it, and they bought the name, and they actually, that is a lager. So this one is an ale, right? These are all ales that we're going to drink tonight. But the Killian's Red, and I almost bought one just for old time's sake, because I can remember back, must have been about 85, something like that, that that was just about when you were born.
I was born a little earlier than that.
85?
I mean later. I was born later than that.
Okay.
No, earlier. Earlier than that.
I do feel old.
Earlier than that.
So anyway, we that was one of the first.
Just say a long time ago.
a long time ago. No, wait a minute. What is it the youngsters say? Back in the day. We used to say back in the old days, you know.
But that's too many
had
words.
Had to shorten it down.
That's
had to shorten
too many words.
Nothing is old to us.
Nothing is old, right. And also, have you noticed that Twitter was really popular originally at 140 characters? Now they've had to make it 280 characters. But anyway, so Irish Reds have been around for quite some time, although, as I say, now that one is, I don't know if anybody really still drinks it. They must do. I saw it.
Every March 17th.
Yeah. And then March 17th they drank it. Yeah, right. And that's what's coming up, of course, St. Patrick's Day, and March 17th in a couple of weeks. So, anywho, did I come to you, Steve?
You did.
I did. That's right. I'm coming to Tom. I want Tom to finish up this segment. Tom, you've got some Irish heritage with the name Ryan.
A bit.
Right?
A bit. Yeah. And a wife who's 100% Irish.
Azure Express, by the way.
It's, yeah.
Okay. That's a film thing. Never mind. So what do you reckon on this one? You like this one?
It's good. Yeah. I agree. I'm generally a little more malty, fan of a little bit more maltier beers. But this is real easy to drink. Obviously, my glass is empty.
Nudge, well, there's more there. Nudge, come on, help yourself.
This is just a good, like compared to the other options out there, I'd rather drink this all St. Patrick's Day than, well, anything else I'm going to grab in the store.
So, did you get any pushback with the name, Chuck? Because it's Crimson Clover, and of course, earlier on, it made reference to Crimson and Clover, the song. Who made that song?
We haven't gotten any cease and desist. I don't know.
No cease and desist.
Nothing yet.
I guess you can't.
It's early.
You can plagiarize the tune, right? But you can't plagiarize the name. Maybe not. You can.
Yeah.
As you well know, Mr. Jucifer.
Yeah. That's Brucifer.
Brucifer. That's right. Brucifer. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. All right. Very good. So our first baseline here, Crimson Clover from Church Street, available on draft and in cans at your local store. And I have to be completely transparent. Chuck brought it. So, you know, it was free beer to us.
Cheers.
Which is always good.
Yeah. Cheers.
We'll be back in a second. A little Crimson Clover, I think. All right, our next beer is the reason why we're here. And Steve, this is your beer from Brother Chimp, an Irish Red, and it is called?
The Well Red Monk.
And in the break, you were showing us the label, which is going to go on to... Are you doing cans, bottles, or what?
No, it's just going to be crowlers and growlers and drafts. And hopefully mostly drafts, because that is the best way to enjoy a beer.
I was going
to
ask you... Are you going to do growlers and crowlers? Because I know what my preference is.
I am at first, and then we'll see how things go and what makes sense.
Okay. Like growlers better?
What?
You like growlers better?
No, I like crowlers better. Oh, yeah, and the reason for that is you can get two varieties, whereas in a growler, you got 64 ounces, unless you've got a smart-ass growler like Lingo's got with the little... You know, thing that, what is it?
It's like CO2
thing on it and everything.
Yeah. I got a little tapper I can put into it.
Right, but yeah, when you open it, you know, you've got to really drink it in a couple of days. And also, I like the fact that I can have a variety, so I can get a couple of pints, and you know, it's better value to me. That's the way I look at it. So,
well, yeah, I think it's easier to package better with less waste too. So I prefer the crowler, but. I know there are people that love their growlers, and I just had a whole bunch printed up, so we're going to have to sell them for a while anyway.
Now, the question I ask about everywhere I go is...
I'll open the beer while you're doing it.
I know what you're going to ask, and I appreciate the question.
Do you accept anybody else's growlers?
If they're clean,
yeah,
I will.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not doing it to make money selling... Growlers.
We used to take other people's growlers, but we would slap one of our stickers on it.
Oh, really?
Oh, I might do that. I like that idea.
That way you get to advertise your product and, and whatever.
Now, the one thing I will tell you that I saw that was a really neat offering, hard to do as a starting brewery, is they would take anyone else's growler, but they would take it, and they would fill theirs, and they would trade them out.
That's interesting.
Oh.
Now, that's an expensive proposition.
If you get somebody
starting.
That's willing to
some
give
people,
theirs up, though.
Some people don't want to
give up their
like the
right.
one,
yeah.
How
the
badly do you want your beer filled?
Like a, one of the ones I have, I got from, what was it, Phil? Blue Cat out of Rock Island, Illinois,
yeah,
or something.
They closed
like
down now.
They closed.
Yeah,
but it's got a porcelain cap on it,
and the metal handle.
Yes,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
very nice.
And it's very ornate. It comes from Germany. Mm-hmm. It's very nice, and I like to take that when I get my growlers,
because it'll seal better than a cap.
It seals really nice. If I want to put my little tapper in it, it works real well.
Beg your pardon?
You keep your little tapper to yourself over there, okay?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
So we have pulled this out, and it is a good-looking beer. What did you call it?
I said it's a pretty-looking beer.
A pretty-looking beer. Yeah,
sure. So,
and this one looks red.
Done. Mm-hmm. And it does look red instead of rather hazy.
That's clear.
So tell us all about how you made this, the recipe, so that we can steal it and brew our own. Now, how did you get going on this one?
So actually, this is the first beer when I was home brewing, where I actually just read a bunch of recipes and didn't base it off of anyone. I knew I wanted to use a bunch of Red X as the base malt for it, and then I just kind of looked at what other people had done for reds. I knew I liked more of a darker, robust red, and I also people will find I'm very partial to both roasted barley and chocolate malt, so there's a, you know, you need to use them judiciously,
a little bit.
But I really like what they do to the flavor when you do. So I guess that's a little bit about the beer.
Yeah, I think you got the balance about right on. I mean, it's just, you can tell it's just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like you use, if you drink it and you go, oh, I got chocolate or roast, and you probably put too much in. But
yeah,
it's just there in the background, which is nice.
Thank you.
I think.
And what I noticed with your beer, Chuck, was at the end of it, it had a nice dry feel. Not too dry, but made you want to come back.
This is a bigger beer. Not bigger, but it's got more flavor. This is kind of like all around.
Malty. Yeah.
What approximate ABV?
5.3, if I remember right.
Okay.
Might be 5.5. I haven't looked in a while.
So same general ranges. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
This one is a lot cleaner in terms of the mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It has a little bit more
chutzpah is what you're looking for.
Yeah, there you go. Chutzpah. Thank you very much.
I thought this was an Irish.
You got to use a little bit more phlegm, though.
Yeah, okay. A little more chutzpah. Yeah.
Chutzpah.
I know I'm standing next to Chuck, but I like this one better.
Oh, there we go.
there's nothing wrong with.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. there's nothing wrong with the verse. I think, again, to my previous comments, a little bit roastier, a little bit maltier without, you know, we're not changing styles, just it's a little bit more.
I like the Red X malt. I think it's probably that base malt.
Yeah.
So what is that? What specifically does Red X malt bring you?
It's like a new malt, relatively new, sort of.
No, really?
Yeah.
Color.
We used it in our Vienna lager when we brewed that. Worked out really good. But yeah.
Yeah, I think with a lot of it's the color, but it has
a body.
A nice body to it and nice flavor.
See, and I like the idea because I loved Maris Otter beers, which is why I asked you the question kind of offline of what it was, but I don't know if I've ever had a beer with this malt, but this is really good.
Yeah, so the hops in this style are not predominant, so do you just use it as a bittering hop or a flavoring hop? What's the...
Just enough to balance everything.
Just enough to balance it?
Yeah, a little on both ends, but just not a lot.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
And it is, it's not, I mean, it's enough there to know, but couldn't pick it out of a lineup. This is good. Well, no, but that's the right.
It's
that's
safe.
The point for it was a hot one. You don't want to go. Oh, by the way, you use this hop as a bittering hop because it means there's way too much of it left.
Right.
So no, this is.
Yeah, it's a really.
I really like this.
It's a really pretty looking beer. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, good head retention on this. It's almost a little creamy as well. A little creaminess to it, which is kind of cool. So, when were you you are currently not brewing out of Brother Chimp, you are brewing Gypsy style, right? as they call it. Or is it contract brewing? I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of modified contract brewing with Pilot Project out of Logan Square.
Okay.
So actually, all of my beers are available there. At Pilot Project in Logan Square. So it's been a nice way for me to scale up the recipes and be able to get some of my beers out so the public can know a little better what I'm about. And it'll also let me get my doors open and serve my recipes a little bit sooner.
Yeah, which is good, I guess.
Yes. The sooner I can be pouring beer, the better.
Absolutely. When do you think you're going to be opening those doors?
So I am hoping to have some soft openings before the month of March is over, and hoping to be able to announce a target grand opening within the next couple of weeks.
So you've recently had a tap takeover somewhere.
I have. Gammon Coach House in Batavia.
Oh, good old Gammon Coach House, which incidentally is John, I don't know his last...
With.
John what?
With.
With?
With.
With. Is yes. it really? I never really. Knew his last name.
Oh, yes.
Okay. We did great a live, guy. We did a live podcast out there about, I don't know, 5 years ago, and I met John at the Moore Brewing industry opening last weekend.
Yep.
And we chatted a little, of course. Wait. Yeah, there you go. He's
I'm trying to get back in my chair.
It was very nice. They actually did a beer dinner for me just this past Tuesday night.
How cool.
And so now there are five of the beers are on tap. Unfortunately, this is not one of them.
Oh, that's all right. A couple of weeks, he'll put it on.
I wouldn't say it didn't make the cut. I would just say it didn't fit the menu.
Right. Okay. What was the menu?
Oh, the menu was wonderful. It was open with the ceviche, which Ooh. I paired my blonde ale with.
Ooh.
And he had a really lovely citrus vinaigrette salad that went with what I'm calling For the Masses, my very first IPA.
You call it For the Masses?
For the Masses.
I'll ask a question. Is it a hazy?
It is not hazy. I would not go there.
So, I have a follow-up question. Did he make the vinaigrette with the beer?
No.
Unfortunately not. That would have been
unfortunately
good.
Unfortunately not.
I'll tell you a story offline on why I'm asking that question.
Okay. That's an interesting question.
Well, come on, share with the
class. I'm trying not to steal. So there was a brewery dinner this weekend or two ago at Ike and Oak. That was obviously they brew their own beer and they have a very, very good kitchen inside.
Yep.
And it was for their first brewery dinner. It was very, very good.
Did you say that was Ike and Oak?
I did say it was Ike and Oak. Thank you. Lingo. and it was one of those things where we went through everything and the pairings were good. And I've been to a lot of brewery dinners and I keep inviting our dear host here, but, he doesn't come along a lot, ever. I always invite you. I've been to some where they every course, regardless of what they do, the beer is incorporated into the course, and you pair the beer. Mm. And then Ike and Oak, we asked the exact same questions. They're like, no, but that's a really good idea. So I was curious if this is just something that the couple of dinners we were at, that's what they did, and we just got lucky, or if this was kind of a stylistic thing. So.
Stylistic.
I don't know. For me personally, because I love food too, there are some things that are good to make with beer. I don't think
and other things that really aren't.
And so why not just pair the...
Tell me something that's not good to have with beer.
Something that's good to make with beer,
I said. Oh, yeah. Everything is good to have with beer. That's my point. I'd rather have good beer than ruin the food by trying to force beer on it when it doesn't
belong. I think the exception to that is the right braised meat. I think you can if you pick the right meat, you can do a really good braise with wine. And I think if you pick a slightly different meat, you can do a really good braise with beer.
What about eggs? Like breakfast.
Eggs, always a stout.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Breakfast stout.
Breakfast stout. When it calls for to mix a little water in with the eggs, instead you'd mix a little stout.
No water with eggs.
Cooking
no.
With,
no. You,
oh,
little
no.
Did he say added water to eggs when you make
when you're, when you're making
they fluff up because they fluff up?
No, half and
no,
half
no, no,
or whipping cream
eggs is a low temperature.
You need the fat with the water, otherwise you get you just get watery eggs. You get you get eggs with no body to
They're getting very passionate, Phil.
It's when you make... wait a minute. Okay, we're on to omelet.
You have to cook them.
Well, I still haven't finished the menu.
Yeah, if you cook eggs long enough,
it's just warming up.
This is important stuff. This is eggs. When you make an omelet, the secret is in the beating. Mm-hmm. All right, so you've got to get a good go on it. Oh, yeah. Hand beat it with a whisk. You've got to get a lot of air into it.
Never use a whisk with eggs.
Why?
Ever. It's
you
a
get
fork.
More, you get
You're
more
not
bubbles
trying to aerate way. The yeah. eggs. You're trying to scramble the eggs.
No, I'm trying Isn't to aerate my eggs.
See, and the real secret. Do we need to go upstairs and make you an omelet?
I apologize for
Meanwhile, back at the pub.
If you want soft, creamy, fluffy eggs, it's the temperature at which you cook them.
Yes.
It can't be rushed.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's a custard.
I do not rush my eggs.
That too.
No. Yes. I got very slow
Hey,
eggs.
We agreed on something related to eggs. Do we get back on beer now?
I'm getting sobering up.
So I want to continue this conversation. So when you're cooking it, do you kind of push this when it cooks a little bit, you push the side and then pour around and then push the so you kind of get a rippled effect.
Are we talking about an omelet or a scrambled egg?
Omelets. A scrambled. That's usually what happens because I put too much stuff into the omelet. So when I try to turn it over, it goes
falls
pop,
apart.
Splat, everything goes everywhere. So you're getting up with scramble. But Okay, welcome to the omelet show.
You've officially jumped the shark, folks.
Yeah, there we go.
Sorry for bringing
so
that
with
up.
An omelet, would you have an Irish red ale? If
I would go with my Irish stout.
For an omelet.
Yeah,
stout,
see?
Man. All right.
Because
we'll
you can have breakfast any time of the day.
Well, that's very true. That's what they
and
say.
And stout.
Yes, I agree.
So So we have to get back to his menu for his beer dinner, because I completely derailed.
Okay. So where do we get to? Ceviche.
We got to the salad, and then
we got to the salad.
Oh, we got to the salad, okay.
Which was paired with the IPA. Then we went to a sausage cavetti pasta. With the
sausage and mushroom.
Sausage and mushroom. And that was the Brigadoon, which you've had, was paired with that.
Yes.
And then...
Hey, Brigadoon. It's the only beer that appears every 100 years, right?
That's right.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to keep it around longer than that.
We were going
to
have a stout called Brigadoon, remember?
That's right, he was.
But they didn't approve the name. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
okay.
Go ahead.
And then, the main fare was the duck breast with a balsamic vinaigrette reduction, I believe.
Cherry
reduction.
Oh,
and
there we go.
Paired that with Smile, which is my English brown ale with a little espresso and vanilla to it.
Ooh.
And then for dessert, they had a wonderful flourless chocolate cake, which was paired with Siegfried, my dry Irish stout, which we'll be sampling in a little while.
Siegfried.
Stout is good for you.
Siegfried.
Siegfried. Oh,
Siegfried.
It's an acronym.
It's an acronym.
Yes. Oh. I like it.
Siegfried.
Wow, this man's clever.
He can brew beer and he's smart.
Ding, ding. All right. So, okay, very good. We've run over on this. We've gone through menus and eggs and everything. Who likes the beer? Yes?
Yes. Yes.
All right, we like the beer. Good one here, definitely. I think both of the beers we've had are beers that are, you know, a little different,
like
which is great, and you get variety in the Irish Reds. Next one up is one that I got yesterday, so hopefully you talked a little bit more about the smokiness. I think you're going to get a little bit more smoky out the next one. We'll be back in just a second.
A symbol of life, a course that dials a bus out to wife.
I pulled out the jammy, thought it was a joke.
The trigger,
I pulled his face,
the yo.
Reached in his pocket, took all his cash. Left my man standing with the egg mustache.
Suckers, they come a dime, a dozen.
When I say dozen, you know what I'm talking about, boy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm the egg man. Driving around, king of the town.
A third Irish red that we think you want to know, and there is quite a few of those out there from local brewers. I did see one from Hailstorm, which is called Southside Red or something like that.
Southside Irish, I think.
Have you had that one?
I've had it. I like it very much, but I'd be honest, I think it tastes a lot like mine.
Oh, so really? Okay, cool. Yeah. So I was opting for that, but I couldn't find a single can.
But you did say Hailstorm, didn't you?
I did.
You still said it.
It won't ring. Sorry.
You've had a long day. You get up early, don't you?
4:30.
Yeah, there you go. That's a terrible time to get up.
Can't wait to retire.
Yeah, I know. Good man. All right. So yesterday I went up to Long Grove, and my buddy Mike Marr, who is the owner, head brewer of Buffalo Creek, had pinged me. Well done. Look at that. Right
I
on
got prompted.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to keep you honest.
I'm just going to put the bell over my tongue.
I
got my teeth.
I had put out something that said, hey, I'm looking for Irish red suggestions. And he pinged me and said, hey, I've got one coming out. I said, when's it coming out? The 29th, he says. I said, oh, darn, I've missed. You know, I'm just going to do this podcast before the 29th. We're here on, what's the date today?
27th. Yeah, you're one day early.
You're always one day early. 26th, Chuck, yeah. And just complete the trifecta?
Yeah, right. I thought tomorrow was the 29th for some reason, but no.
Oh, no, the 29th is going to be the Winterfest day, yeah. Naperville Winterfest. Please come on down to Naperville Winterfest. I'll be pouring for Hot Vine. Are you going to be there?
It just depends how things go with getting the system up.
Yeah, gotcha. Understood. So anyway, back to this. So Mike said, oh, I can get you a couple of cans early. So I was there yesterday, had a really nice chat with him. This is release date. Ooh. This is his Burning Red, and he's got a couple of cans. Now, he did say it's going to pour a little hazy because he had actually just put it into the fermenters. It's okay because, oh, this is a completely different color, I think, even easy. To all of them.
It's, oh, yeah, it's like, sorry. That's yours.
Hang on a minute.
Right between
just
the other
Just give me a little bit
right in
that.
Between. Yeah, we've got all those color things going on there. He made this and has made this for several years now. And the story, how he got the name, was that he was brewing it one day and something happened where he tweaked something or turned some valve and got scalded with second and third degree burns down his chest.
Oh no.
Steam will do that.
He recovered from that, but the beer turned out okay. It's a little flaky with the skin in it, but you know. But Mike,
more body.
No, a little body to it. Yeah, there we go. Mike produced this beer, and it was one of the first reds that I drunk that I actually kind of liked, because I'm not a big red fan. So he said he apologizes if it's a little cloudy, which I think is perfectly fine based on your Crimson Clover, right? And so I have a lot of information about this. This is a 4.8. Did we say how much the other one was?
Yes.
Yeah? Oh, yeah, we did. Right. 5.3. So the Buffalo Creek is 4.8. And it has a very malty aroma to it. So I'm going to go to let's go to Jessica first.
Oh, boy.
There we go.
No pressure. That's easier to go
first. I don't think it tastes as malty as it smells. It does smell very malty.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little drier to me.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of a roast. Yeah.
It does.
Thank you, Chuck.
It probably helps dry
it out.
With the dryness, too.
I'm glad you said that, because yesterday I was sitting there drinking a pint of it, and man, when I first drink this, there's almost a little smokiness, almost a little touch of Rausch beer in there at the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it fades away, and you get a nice dry finish, and it's pretty decent.
You had me worried when you said smoky. I was ready to spit this back in the glass and go pour it down the loo.
You're not a smoky man then, huh?
No, I hate smoke. Some of these that they say are smoky taste like you're drinking a fire pit.
Yeah.
It is not pleasurable, and I don't like it. This, I get what you're saying. There's a little something there, but it really does not last at all. Yeah, and it's not overpowering.
And it's really not smoke.
No,
it's
it's totally different, and it...
Yeah.
Because the smoky ones, it doesn't taste like beer to me. I know you love those, Phil, but
don't go to Bamberg. Okay, don't ever go to Germany, Bamberg, because that's the home of the Rausch beer. That's where I want to go. That's my crusade to go there. What? You already took a picture? Yeah. Well, I'm gonna take another one.
All right.
You didn't get the lovely Jessica in your picture.
I didn't.
Okay. So I can tell you what this is made up of. It's got a malt called Special Roast, which that would be that bit.
That'll do it
to start with. Biscuit, Pilsen, and Caramel 20. Okay. He's used an American ale yeast on this, and Willamette and EKG hops.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he's got a little of the English in it, a little of the new stuff, a little Pilsen in there. I think it's a really well balanced, and I really like that little roast thing at the beginning.
Yep, I'm gonna drink a few of these.
Yeah, another easy drinking beer.
It
is. I think I'm kind of bummed that this was third, because I think I'd like it more if it was out of order. It's not bad. It's perfectly serviceable, I think.
How do you know it's not out of order?
Well, it might
you're
not be
out of order.
You're out of order. Told me it was called Burning Red. So, I think that, and obviously I know why we did the order we did. I think if we'd have started with this one, I think there might be a little different opinions, at least in my mind.
Expand upon your theory here, Mr. Tom.
Do you have enough
battery life for that?
Yeah, probably not.
Just checking.
There's an outlet around here, so we're plugged in.
Yeah, okay.
I agree. It smells maltier than most of the others, but I think it tastes a little lighter than them.
Hmm.
At least in my mind.
Maybe a wee bit lighter.
A wee bit. Perfect. Yeah. But here's the thing. These all three of them are close enough in comparison that it's hard to compare this after the last two we had. And it's like the only comparison I can take is a little bit of a step back, which is unfortunate because I think it's probably at least as good as the other two. Mm. I think I would have, if we'd have done a tasting and known ahead of time, I'd have put them in a different order.
Well, I don't know. I think I'd keep them in the same order because I think ours was the smallest of all the beers, first of all. It's more of a crowd pleaser.
Wait a minute.
My favorite.
I think the crowd's pretty happy right now. With all three of these.
I'm disappointed more in myself that I would have liked to have had this first. Okay. I think I would have liked to have started with this, then gone to yours, then gone to the other one. I think that's just
semantics.
It's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you always like to pick.
Sometimes you just got to have three of them.
It's a good beer.
I pick nits. It's what I do. But no, it's good. I mean, it's still really good. I think I would have liked them differently.
So what sort of when you're brewing an Irish Red? I mean, is it exactly the same as brewing any other beer? Or do you have a longer like boil time or anything specific you do? It's all to do with the malts that you put into
malt
it. In a beer like this, it's all malts, right?
Well, it's malt, hop, and yeast, and water, and everything you make.
It's easy to brew compared to some of the stuff they got me doing.
Oh, yeah?
That's an easy brew day.
What do they got you brewing now?
The super stouts and the hazies and all the crazy stuff.
The hazies, okay.
All the stuff I'm not doing.
And of course, you production brew for a number of places, Energy City being one. So,
yeah, I mean,
how's all that fruit stuff going on? You know,
that's pretty interesting, actually. So we're learning how to do fruit beers, and the trick there is because you have to kill off the yeast because you've got fermentables in there, and you're going to package it. So it's a little bit tricky, but.
My experience of brewing was when we did the Wicked Googly with Riverlands, and Eric over there put his yeast in to the top of the fermenter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is that how that happened? I mean, do you put it into the fermenter first, or do you always put it in the top?
Different ways, depending on where you're getting the yeast from. Do you have it in-house, or are you getting it from Omega? If we're doing it in-house, it'll already be in there. If we get it from Omega, it goes in through the top.
Where do you get your yeast from, then, Steve?
So both. I've done Omega. I've done Fermentis. So it just depends.
Are you gonna like keep a house yeast so that you can pass it on to your grandchildren? Or
unlikely. You know, home brewing. It's kind of hard to play too much with yeast. Yeah. So I am, looking to repeat pitch some yeast and all. But whether or not I'll ever try and create my own house strain, that's off into the distant future to be decided.
Have you ever got like a bottle of Belgian beer which would have the good stuff at the bottom floating around, and then said, oh, I'm going to use that and kind of take that yeast and
I haven't. I've heard plenty of people who have done it, but not sure it's worth the
leave that
bother
to,
for what you'll get.
To the other guys.
Leave that to the other guys. Yeah,
they can do it for you.
Yeah, I stole this yeast from an abbey. Yeah. Okay, so I'd just like to give a shout out to Buffalo Creek because this beer is going to be released on this Friday.
Did you say Buffalo Creek?
I did.
Didn't we already hit them already?
I don't know. But they've got a double ding.
They don't get a double ding.
They don't get a double ding. I didn't know the rules.
Take that one back.
I would also recommend that you go up there. It's Long Grove, so it's a bit of a hole, but he has
got a very cool tasting room. Very cool room.
And he has a version of his 42K Belgian style ale, which starts off at 10.5%. It's kick-ass beer. But he has put that into a brandy barrel. I think it's a Californian brandy barrel, so not cognac. And I was lucky enough to taste a little of it because he was making sure it was okay for release. He had not carbonated it. It was effing awesome. I mean, it was almost like having a brandy beer. You know, and it wasn't carbonated yet. It was really, really good. So if you're looking for something really good for the weekend, head up to Long Grove and Buffalo Creek. Tell them the Brit and Yankee sent you. Well, the Brit anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Steve, you have brought something that's a little more dark than the reds, and yes, that's kind of going to the next piece of our Irish review, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your Irish dry stout?
Yes. Classic dry Irish stout. Why more people don't make one, I don't know.
Well, we'll find out more about that in just a second.
I enter the pub and it's things at the stable, but I'll take a sip. There's one empty table. I'm looking for a barman. I don't need to think. Hey, get out your ass and get me the drink. So fucking stout, fucking stout. I drink all night and I don't care if it's wrong or right. Stout, fucking stout. I drink all night.
All right, we are now going to the darker side of Ireland.
Yay.
And that is Irish stouts. So when we think of Irish stouts, we obviously think of Guinness, and we're going to have a sample of Guinness because it's a classic here at the end. But Steve, you have made this beer, and now does it have a name?
Sigfi.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned that earlier. Now, yes, please explain that again.
Stout,
yeah,
is good for you.
Sigfu.
Sigfeed.
Fee.
S-I-G-F-Y.
Yusuf. Oh, Sigfi with a Y. Sorry.
Yes. You. You is spelt with a...
Yeah.
I know.
Not a sheep.
I was doing a U.
Yeah, he's used to everybody saying F-U to
him. Away with the U, you know. Okay. So you brought a few bottles of this. I got a big one. So tell us a little bit
about... What about the bottle?
Huh?
Nothing.
Tell us a little bit about how you brewed this and why you like Irish stouts.
I've always liked Irish stout ever since I can remember. I've been a huge fan of Guinness. And
ever since you were a wee little lad?
Since I was a wee just a wee lad.
It's got a good memory.
Yeah. You know.
Wow.
I used to call it mother's milk, brutal. If you would.
They called it what?
Mother's milk.
Oh, mother's milk, yeah. You know. Do you remember Mackeson Stout?
Love Mackeson Stout.
Okay, Mackeson Stout is a traditional stout from England. I know it's not an Irish stout.
And the beer's up, would you?
What?
Yeah. Distribute, then talk. What are you doing?
Hold on.
My goodness.
Amateur.
Really? We'll talk about Mackeson again in a minute. Here we go. There we go. Cool. I'm just passing out the beers. So, forget that. what's the difference between an Irish stout and a regular stout? A non-Irish stout.
What, like a sweet stout or a dry stout?
It really
depends.
Some American stouts are much hoppier.
Okay.
American stouts are very hoppy, yes.
Is this an American one?
No, this is a dry Irish stout.
Okay.
This, so in a...
Oh, lovely roasty aroma. Oh, my goodness.
So for the home brewers, in a 5-gallon batch, there is all of a 1/2 ounce of hops.
Good.
Wow.
Not very much.
Yeah, that's light.
Just a wee nit.
What type of hops?
I'd have to double check. I'm terrible about remembering my recipes.
So once again, we have a beer that's all about the malt. Now, I wonder if that's because you couldn't get the malt back in Ireland. You couldn't get the hops back in Ireland. And you were more readily able to get malt.
Well, I think, too, it's part of their water chemistry, too, right? I mean,
it is. And that is part of it. The water is, I've always brewed with reverse osmosis water at home and then built it back up with the characteristics of the territory that the beer came from. So,
I think the water, like, a lot of times the water chemistry sort of dictated what they could brew. Back in the old days, they didn't know that much about water chemistry, but they did, and they would try things, and certainly like in Pilsen, they could brew these really light beers, and they were wonderful. Mm-hmm. Because they had soft water,
Yep.
And some places that didn't have soft water, they did much better with these kind of beers.
And maybe that was what was in Ireland. I mean, do they have hard water there? Do we know that? I don't know.
I'm thinking they do.
Yeah.
Pretty hard.
So everybody thinks of Guinness when they think about a stout. And then we know that with Guinness, the calories are not that high. In fact, it's one of the lower calorie beers, believe it or not. And when you talk about, having a Guinness, people go, oh, I don't like those heavy beers, but it's not heavy. So this, the color is fantastic. Where's your little...
Oh,
we need a picture of
it's not opaque, but it's pretty damn close.
Look at that.
It's really dark.
And that's like a laser light. That could land a plane in O'Hare, and we're 30 miles from there. But, I would call this as black as your hat, but when you look at the bottom of it, it's just a beautiful, dark, deep brown.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the corner...
I haven't got past the aroma yet, by the way.
Look at the bottom corner of the glass, you can see a little light refracting through there, but basically it's pretty much opaque and black.
So do you, some of the people around here, I don't know if they don't brew a lot of Irish stouts. What's a dry stout?
Well, this is a dry stout. So,
okay.
Thanks. I mean, most of the stouts that you drink, if you try them, like some of the ones we brew are almost like eating a candy bar, with alcohol. It's like someone melted down a candy bar and threw some alcohol in there. It's like, whoa. It's just, you take one, drink one of those, and then you're a diabetic.
Which makes it a little hard to get people to try this, because people who've had those, every time they see a stout, they start to think a stout means an imperial stout.
Yeah.
Or something really a pastry stout. Or
heavy
a milk stout. Occasionally an oatmeal stout.
Right.
I think you see imperials the most, and then you see the pastries, and then you see the milk, and then you see the oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I've very seldom seen a dry Irish stout that was craft brewed.
People have a sweet tooth, and that sells. I mean, but
sugar's
but that's
addicting.
A shame, because this is really damn good.
I'm just
good.
Saying that's what sells. And I don't personally like to drink them. I would rather drink
I don't think it's all sweetness, though. I think it has a lot to do with body, mouthfeel, everything else. Some people drink Guinness. That's all they drink. That's great. Mm-hmm. I think Guinness is something for people that want to get into drinking stouts. I always said it's like the stout with training wheels on it. Try this first. If you can get past this and you actually enjoy it, then move on to something more. I know only because my wife and my sister-in-law and one of my wife's friends love drinking very heavy stouts. Dragon's milk, anything, heavy, thick.
Mm-hmm.
They want something because they're used to drinking red wines. They want something with more body. They don't want something very light. They don't want something that's similar to a porter. They want something a little heavier with a little bit more bite to it.
So this is... I got through my first sample glass, and this is like it's very easy drinking. I almost would put it into a mild category, but it's not quite that easy. It's got a delightful head.
It's roasty.
I mean, look at the head. It's just a beautiful light brown, off white, whatever, hanging around in our sample glasses. Pretty damn tasty. This.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And that's what drinkability is really what I want for my beers. Pintability,
pintable.
Too.
Yes.
Right. And that's what's nice about this.
Yeah.
You can sit there and some of the stuff I like to drink, very heavy stuff, not going to drink more than a snifterful and that's it. This I could definitely sit around and drink pint after pint after pint and feel good about it and not feel bloated, not feel like, holy crap, this is, it's like, ugh. when you're done.
Yeah.
So, Chuck, how does this differ? Because you make a really rather excellent milk stout. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you don't put lactose in this. Is that the only difference?
No, there's a lot of other differences, too. I mean, I'm sure his mash temperatures are lower than ours, and I'm guessing. And and there's other things, other tricks and things that you can do. So, and even, milk stout, once again, that's a popular style. People like it. I have a Scottish wee heavy that I brew every once in a while at Church Street, and that's my favorite.
Yeah. What the hell, man?
Well, wait a minute, you can't bring the Scots into an Irish program.
Well, sorry, man. I'm more bitter he hasn't brought any of the Scottish wee heavy with him, but that's a separate issue.
Well, I'll brew it again.
Yeah.
So tomorrow?
Yeah, and since you didn't ask, I'll offer. It's just 4.2 ABV.
Okay, I was just about to ask because I know that Irish stouts are supposed to be a little lighter, 4%, right around there. So it's 4.2.
Yeah.
Excellent. So. And that makes this a delightful beer to sup a few pints down and get out your old shillelagh and, do a little fiddling and... Are whatever you going to be open on March the 17th?
We'll try.
So I think this is a rather delightful beer. We're going to compare it, and I think this is really unfair, but shit, it's my show. I'll do what I hell want.
you're not going to compare it to what I think here.
We're going to compare it to something that has a widget, and we'll come back in just a second and crack open.
A toast to Bonnie Brew. We'll lift the glass as seasons pass and adventures yet to do. We'll toast each lass that we have met and some we wish we knew. And then at last we'll stagger home and tomorrow start anew. We'll have a pint. We'll have a pint of stout. And when we've drunk it bottom up, we all will give a shout. Hurrah! We'll have a pint. We'll have a pint of stout. And when we've drunk it bottom up, we all will give a shout.
Hurrah! So we're back, but I have to say that Tom flagged me down and said, I had a comment and you cut me off. So, Tom.
He does that a lot. So,
yeah, that's enough of that. So we carry on. Carry on.
So again, and you know, and it's funny because even Chuck made the comment that the darker the beer, usually the more in I am. And I order anything that's a stout, I order in a brewery, sight unseen. I don't care what it is. It's kind of where I draw my line with breweries. And I've had probably every dry Irish stout for two counties. Folks, you're missing out. Like, I'm hoping this is on tap when you open. This is really good and probably top of the list.
Wow.
This might be the best one I've had, certainly this year, but in a long time. Because usually they're sketchy because everyone, they throw a dart at a board and it's like, yeah, we need to have one because they're approaching St. Patrick's Day and let's just get it done and get it over with. Yeah, I have nothing sketchy to say about this at all.
So really I rather unfairly at the end of the other segment, I said we're going to compare this with something with a widget, and you actually mentioned about this beer, and we were talking off mic about whether you would have this one on nitro as well as perhaps just regular. And that brings me to an next beer, which is a classic. It's Murphy's Irish Stout. Now, this and Guinness were one of the first beers that had the legendary widget in the bottom of it, which somehow, when you crack the top, releases a small cartridge of CO2. Now, at one point...
Nitrogen, actually.
What?
Nitrogen.
Nitrogen. What did I say?
CO2.
Oh, okay. That's shit you don't want. Right, CO2.
Yeah.
You die from that. Yeah, you don't want that in your beer.
No, that's carbon monoxide.
So about an omelet.
That'll be in trouble.
What?
No.
So anyway, and if you remember Lingo way back, been 8 years ago when these first things came out, we did a show where we actually took all the beers that we could find with a widget,
cut open
the cans to find out exactly how they did it. Some had a little cartridge inside it. Others had a little plastic thing at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Guinness, I think, had the one that was mounted actually in the bottom of the can.
In the can. And then they've also now moved that little to a balls. Bottle, which, in fact, we've actually got something, which is something in there that is really interesting because the best way to pour Guinness out of a bottle to get a creamy head is to tip it right up and just let it come out. We'll do that shortly. However, back to this beer. So Murphy's imported draft style beer, and I'm going to crack this open, and we're going to have to. Could everybody
listen
please
to the
line
hiss.
Up your.
You need your glasses lined up.
You need your glasses lined up here. So
I don't have
remember
one.
Who your glasses are. Because when this comes out, I mean, theoretically, what you do with this is when you crack it open, you get a pint glass, and you, again, you invert it just like that, and then you let it come out, and you follow the can up, not touching the sides of the
lift
glass.
Lift the can.
And it will happen.
Maybe you want to open the other can now that you flipped that one a couple times. So
it would have been far more entertaining for the locals
because,
if he hadn't, by
because
the way.
All of us on this side of the bar don't want to be sprayed and stopped on the way
fair
home.
Point, fair
Let
point.
Let us spray.
I already got my beer.
I'm getting two new glasses for these guys because they're slow on the drinking. Cheers.
No, we're saving for the comparison is the issue.
So I'm going to crack this open. Oh, what a nice sound. Now, obviously, I can't turn this upright, but as I pour this, you can see the creamy head coming out even into the sample glasses. And it pours out, interestingly enough, and I've never done this into a sample glass, underneath you see the beer, and on top of it you see the foamy nitro head. It's almost like pouring out a coffee, like a milky coffee or something like that.
Well, if anybody's ever seen a Guinness, it's got the bubbles coming up the sides of the glass. There's your widget.
That's the widget. Now, I think that is a little ball in there.
Sometimes they're balls, sometimes they're discs.
That's right. Sometimes you have a ball, sometimes you don't. I won't
sometimes you feel like a nut.
But
sometimes
even in the sample glasses, this little sucker is...
I think
that's
you
yours,
got that
mine, you got yours. We're all good. Okay, did we work out all right? Wow, it's so hard back here with you guys.
That's why you always tip your bartenders, folks.
Yeah, that's right. And even with these sample glasses, interesting enough, this has actually, you know, ended up looking like a real mini pint of nitro stout. James Jeremiah Murphy lived from 1825 to 1897. And apparently with his four brothers, he sold off a distillery and he started a brewery. So there we go. He's gone from making hooch to making good beer. I'm going to go straight to Steve because you've sampled it. And I find with a lot with these nitro beers, you don't get an awful lot of aroma from it because the head just covers everything, you know. What do you think? Is it light? Is it good?
It's light.
I haven't had a
creamy
Murphy stout for ages.
Either have I, actually. It's fine. It's you know, the head is nice on it. You're right. There's not as much aroma. It's got a nice flavor profile to it.
Yeah.
It's easy to drink.
Easy to drink.
I think it's got like a hint of toffee in there. No. Really strong, but just sort of.
No, I think you're right. Yeah,
hint is a good word.
Okay, it's a hint.
Maybe
I think everything about this beer is a hint.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of malt taste. There's not a lot of taste. Period.
But when you compare these two, this is like what you get with a nitro compared to a carbonated stout. So if you took Steve's stout and you just did a nitro of it, they would be closer. I think it would seem closer anyway. I think
the nitro always tends to give you a lot smoother beer, and I guess that's a characteristic of the nitrogen.
Because with carbonation, you get a little bit of carbonic acid and everything, and it's different than this is actually a flat beer.
Yeah, I'm really not sure I'm going to like my stout better on nitro or not. But I really want to try it.
He'll find out.
Find out. I know my brown ale I've had on nitro, and it's great.
Yeah.
So is there a good thing to having beer on nitro and not having it on nitro? It almost seems like, you know, you could have any beer on nitro, but is it good for that beer? I mean,
it's style dependent is what I found. I've had, you know, I've seen people try and get creative with some of the beers that they've put on nitro that just shouldn't be on nitro.
So no hazy IPAs on nitro?
Like maybe a...
Well, maybe no hazy IPAs.
Like a Goza?
I'm okay with that, too.
Can you put a Goza on nitro?
I wouldn't know what to do with a Goza.
I want to try that now.
The folks who had Murphy's Brewery going on, apparently they built a malt house in 18... I'm reading this out of the Oxford...
Companion. You don't know it by heart.
No,
I was very impressed for a second.
It's really interesting, by the way. The Oxford Companion to Beer is a book that everybody should have. I don't know if they're going to do any updates, but it's got a lot of good stuff in it. So they built a malt house in 1889, and this later became the brewery offices and was almost destroyed by a burst vat in 1913.
That must have sucked.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like a personal problem. Murphy's was first bottled in 1924. And they did have a little bit of trouble through the Irish Civil War because they had tide pubs. You know, a tide house is where you're tied to one brewery. They had tide pubs in Cork that were destroyed by fire in 1920 through UK government action. We're terribly sorry. I'd like to apologize for that right
man.
Now. But in 1965, Watney Man, who Watney's Red Barrel, speaking of red beers, Watney's Red Barrel was a beer that I grew up with, although I preferred mild, but Watney's Red Barrel became kind of like some of our domestic beers. And the saying in England was, I wouldn't wash my dog in it.
Oh, wow.
It got to be that bad.
So it's like Budweiser.
Yeah. Just like Budweiser, yeah, exactly, yeah. And they've taken a share in Murphy's, but now they went bankrupt, unfortunately, Murphy's in 1982. And it was taken over by Heineken. And so I'm assuming that we're now drinking a Heineken. Whatever, whoever Heineken is owned by. Don't Heineken, isn't they owned by themselves?
Everybody's owned by somebody.
Everybody's owned by somebody.
Well, except this is one of the for big ones. Yeah. The independent craft brewers.
On the side of the can, by the way, it does tell you about the ingenious floating draft flow system that enables you to enjoy the creamy head of Murphy's from a can. And I must admit that once a year, I like to have these beers because it really, they are classic beers. And, you know, it's not something I would drink all the time, although they're extremely easy drinking, you know. And it's just, I mean, I could drink one of these in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
I suspect the Irish do. So. Okay, so we've had the classic beer from Murphy's, but of course the ultimate classic stout is Guinness, and we'll jump onto that in a second. I have to admit, Steve, so far yours is just something that I'd love to have a pint or two down at your pub with. This is fine, but you know, it's
that.
The big boys, and we always like the locals, right?
We do.
We always like the locals.
Buy local.
Buy local.
This hale and hearty warrior is worshipped in the ranks. He does his task inside the cask as well as in the tanks. He bears the brunt on every front, north, south, east, and west. And he wears about 10,000 canteen medals on his chest. He's good old General Guinness, he has earned the world's applause. 'Twas he who kept our spirits up in the midst of all our wars. Who was the first to flirt with Mademoiselle from Armentiers? Why, good old General Guinness of the Dublin Boozeliers.
All right, coming down to our last beer here for our Irish six-pack, which just goes to show that the Irish beers that are green are not the beers that you should be drinking this St. Patrick's Day. You should be drinking the reds and the darks. And I'd like to apologize right now because we haven't got a potato ale because
potato famine.
we did the potato famine on them and killed off a few.
Yeah.
Anyway. So our final beer here is the Guinness Draft Stout. Now, this comes in a bottle, and theoretically, it says nitrogenated, wow, that's a tough one to say, for smoothness. Now, theoretically, inside this bottle is something that if you then turn it up, you know, you're going to get that creamy head. Now, I've got sample glasses, so I don't know if that's going to work.
Now, I want to see this one go up now that you've shaken it, too.
Oh, yeah, I'll do the other one first.
he's very visual. I know, I should let him just do it, but, you know, he'd probably make me clean it up since I'm the cellar master.
So Arthur Guinness
clean the bar.
Was one of the guys who is basically, you know, he's made this empire, and who likes Guinness? Who has memories of their first Guinness? Chuck.
My first Guinness was... they're extra stout, and I bought it at the Shamrock in DeKalb in like 1979. And nobody drank Guinness, of course, so I imagine this beer must have been in that bar probably for quite a while. And it really wasn't very enjoyable. And so that was the last time I tried it until maybe 10 years later when I started drinking the Guinness Draft, like what you're pouring here. And then of course, I drank a lot of it. I discovered that it had a lot of different qualities, but I won't go into those other qualities. But it was very good.
Go into it.
Easy to get wrecked.
Yeah. Well, not really that, but it. Mike looks like he wants to jump in here.
Well, I was going to say the first. Since I grew up way older than you, Chuck, I think.
Maybe.
Way older.
My first experience with Guinness
way older than me.
Was not straight up Guinness. At the time, I moved to Champaign, Illinois, which is a long story, and I won't go into it. But there was a bar there that the rugby team loved to hang out in, and you didn't dare go in there. If
didn't order old style,
weak at heart. No, they would order a pitcher of Busch beer for $2, and buy a bottle of Guinness for $1 and pour it into the pitcher.
Oh,
so that actually brings up a good point.
Really?
Because we were talking about what you could mix with Guinness,
mm-hmm.
and Jessica, you said something about mixing something that made something. What was the something?
Snake bites.
Oh.
Snake
okay.
bites. We were at Two Fools Cidery last week, and we were there. You go. Mm. And we were mixing our Sigfi with one of their apple ciders.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
And a snake bite is Guinness and cider.
Yeah,
it's stout and cider.
Stout and cider.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you were making it with the well-read monk?
No,
Sigfi.
No. With Sigfi, with the stout.
The one we just
had. So basically the idea is you take a cider and...
Oh, wait a minute. I got confused. That's right. Sigfi.
Sigfi.
No, Sigfi.
Sigfi. I'm having trouble with that one.
I have to write it out for
you. I'm going to have to change the name.
Must be the accent.
I can't pronounce it. Okay.
Sigfi.
Like Sigmund Freud, only without the mund.
Yeah. As long as you enjoy drinking it, it's really all I care about. You can call it anything you want. Just order another.
Okay. So you were doing it with Sigfi and... people were enjoying it.
Absolutely.
I did.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Does it float like a black and tan?
So, if the cider is dense enough, it should. It didn't, but since I know I can float the stout on a Brigadoon, I know that wasn't the stout's fault.
the brewer was explaining that particular apple cider didn't have enough sugar for it to float.
Because he doesn't
efficiently.
He makes really great ciders, and so he doesn't want to over sugar it just to get a stout to float on it, which I commend him for, and it still tasted lovely being blended together.
So if you're making a black and tan, mm-hmm. I mean, the classic, I think, is Smithwick's Red Ale and Guinness.
Okay.
The secret is to put the stout in second. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to try a little experiment here. Maybe somebody can whip out their phone and record it. It's because I have one of these spoons here.
Did you just ask us to whip it out?
You're able to do the balancing with. So theoretically, we're going to use your red. And I'm going to... Have I got the right one for the red? Is that the red?
Yep.
That's the red.
No, that's not the red.
That's the stout.
Sorry.
That's the stout.
There's more stout? Okay, we got that.
Yeah.
Tom's like,
so while I'm... Is this the red?
Yes.
That's the red.
Okay, my God, this is so complicated. So while I'm doing this, talk about Guinness, Chuck. Do you like it?
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty bloody classic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's... I used to drink... this when I would go to bars that just had industrial beers, but then they had to have something else, and they would a lot of times they would have this
industrial.
So I would just drink that.
Okay.
Well, drink industrial beers, but back, you know. You know, you try to keep your seat at the bar, but if you had to go to the bathroom, it would really suck because you'd lose your seat, you know? Oh, hold on.
So I'm pouring this over the top here, and I'm hoping it's floating because...
No floating whatsoever.
I don't know.
There is no floating?
You're gonna need a clear blend.
Well, it's a little...
Oh, man.
So much for that little spoon.
So we know that we cannot...
Where's your flashlight?
It's separated. Yep, in my right phone, I see it separated.
Because perhaps
I have a
it's not.
Phone than you do.
Oh, there we go. Look at this. Hey, look at that.
It's funny.
And you know why? Because I want to turn that around because you got
is.
The gribble.
It's floating a little bit.
It's floating quite a bit. It's
there is no mixing whatsoever.
What I want to know is why don't they call this a Natalie Wood? Because she was a floater. Whoa.
Hey, too soon. Yeah.
Okay, too soon. She's been dead for like 30 years. Come on, man. Now, I have to say that in terms of your beer, the red is dark, and so is the contrast. You can only see it if you've got the light behind it, right?
Right, that's what I was saying.
Did we all get pictures with light behind it? Good, send them to us. So if anybody wants a black and tan,
do you have the light again?
You can now ask Jessica, please do me a black and tan. With your, so everybody knows that Guinness Draft has a different recipe for every location that it's sent to, export, you know, import, that sort of stuff. Who knows who the biggest Guinness drinking whatever recipe Guinness drinking nation is, where they sell the most of it?
Africa.
Nigeria. Yeah. You were right. Well, give that man a prize. You get the pint.
You get a brewery.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Woo-hoo.
It's absolutely amazing that they sell all this to Nigeria, and it's a different recipe. I think it's slightly thicker and heavier.
It's the extra foreign that he first had.
Extra foreign.
And they actually had an issue with counterfeiting because it was so popular, and they actually had to go to where they changed to an engraved bottle. And when you went to a place, they would serve it with the bottle. So watch you pour it out of the bottle and place it in front of you, so you knew it was not a counterfeit bottle.
Wow. Amazing.
Wow.
Things you learn when you go to the storehouse in Dublin.
Okay, cool. Yeah, have you been there? You obviously been there then.
I did.
So what was your experience?
Oh, it was great. It was fun. I was actually off to do a hike in Scotland just after I retired.
Wait a minute. That's nowhere near Bloody Island.
Well, yes, it is.
Yeah, but they're going
to... From here, I've got to fly over Ireland to get there.
They're going
to
build a bridge, by the way. Boris is going to build a bridge from Scotland to Ireland.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. So you got over to Ireland,
Trump's
to Dublin.
Wall. Yeah. So I stopped in and got the whole classic tour at the storehouse, and they showed me how to pour a proper pint of Guinness, which that is the one thing I will say. I think a Guinness, like no other beer, needs to be poured fresh off a tap by somebody who knows what they're doing. And it's such a shame because I used to go on the north side of Chicago. There was Gunter Murphy's, and that's where you went to get a proper pint of Guinness.
So what's the proper way to pour a pint of Guinness?
Well, it's full on for about two-thirds, three-quarters. Mm-hmm. Let it set, and then you finish it off.
Cool. Did you put the little shamrock in the top?
It was never that talented.
Oh, dear. All right, so we have gone through three of the stouts. We've gone through two of the classics and one of the soon-to-be classics. And we've had three of the reds. I'm going to just summarize this up. Tom, what was your favorite of each? And be honest. I mean, you know.
Look, I do enough ass kissing in my life. Yeah. I don't need to kiss the asses that are local. But honestly, look, the stuff that you guys brought was really, really good. The Church Street was, I mean, close second. But I kept it in front of me to try it against everything else. So that says something, because normally I'm just going to drink it. The stuff you brought was really good. The stout is still probably that dryer stout is solid.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
You can't light your own.
Like it's red.
Yeah. Like, okay. Cool. That's good. Wow. Jessica. Well, obviously you're going to like Brother Chimp.
I do like Brother Chimp. Yeah. I really like the Sigfi. Mm-hmm. Out of everything we've had today.
Yeah. Steve?
I very much enjoyed Chuck's Red.
Okay.
That's nice.
After this mutual patting on the back.
Yeah, that's all this. I enjoyed all of them. I did like Steve's probably better, only because it had a little bit more body to it, a little mm-hmm. fuller. Chuck's I could drink all day long, too. I mean, it really was still really good. I really like it. I really like Reds. I don't get them as much as I really want. Really, basically, right now, the only Red I actually drink is over at D&G. Mm-hmm. So,
his is just an amber ale.
I really like it. So, because it seems like a lot of places aren't doing a proper red or do a red at all. Hmm. So it's really nice to know that somewhere is going to be actually very local to me.
That's
going to
be quite close to your house.
Yeah,
too, very close to down Randall Road.
Yeah.
Steve, we're going to be...
Which one did you like the best? Don't try to get out of this.
So I have to say I'm a little partial to the Burning Red, and it's only because of that slightly smoky start to it. Other than that, any of these beers would find their way into the Brit and Yankee pub fridge.
I think that's the key, is that you're not going to go wrong with any of these. But they're all really good.
But here's the thing. The only time I go out and buy these classic beers, the Murphys and the Guinnesses and things like that, is if I'm doing a podcast where we're kind of going back and looking at some of these. Otherwise, I'm going to purchase the local brew. And yeah, Steve, you are going to be soon the local brew, right? So, that's a good thing.
Because it doesn't have to come, across the pond and to travel as far. Beer doesn't like to travel, so.
Exactly.
Well, I guess you're right. I mean, I brought beer.
Well, unless you're going from North Aurora to West Chicago.
Well,
that's a good travel.
But that's not quite the same way as halfway around the world.
Well, true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Half hour is a lot easier on
it. Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
So, Steve, I'm going to look forward to heading out to your location, because to get there, I would drive past the Moose Heart. Heart place. What do they call it?
Moose Heart.
It's a charitable organization. But the reason I like it is because they have a bald eagle nest in their parking lot. And you can stand there, watch it, and then drive like a mere 2 minutes other side of
Not
Randall
anymore.
Road. What?
Not anymore.
No, it's what there. Do you mean? Don't worry. It's there. It's in the parking lot.
Well, last year they said that somebody in their car hit the...
They hit one of them, and she's found a new mate.
I saw it just this past two days. Person that was like, no, they're not going to come back because she doesn't have a mate, and she's not going to be back, and...
No,
this is right after it happened.
Bald eagles are very fickle. Yeah. They're going to hook up with anybody.
I've seen it within the last 24 hours. I drive past it every day on my way to the brewery.
Seen it floating around there.
I've seen it sitting up there, and I've seen it. Actually, yesterday we saw it in flight. So maybe it's a mile from the
never
brewery.
Never believe an expert when they say that they're never going to come back.
And as I say, you can sit there, watch the bald eagles, and then... take a little trip over to see. Here's a thing.
Yeah.
Maybe you should put an observation deck on the roof of the brewery with a telescope, and then you could zip down and you could be drinking beer and watching eagles.
You got to do me a favor. Get your beer over to Bulldogs right down the street, because they have some...
Well, they have a good fish fry.
They got a good fish fry, and they could use his beer there.
But then it could go to him. An order from Bulldog.
Yeah, but if you're there enjoying a fish fry, it would be nice to have a pint of red or something while you're having a fish fry.
It's so close.
It is close. Yeah, a block away.
So we're going to look forward to you opening ASAP. Yeah. And we'll come down and we'll chat more about that when you have your opening.
Do we have a theoretical date in mind? If all goes well with the world and the stars align?
If all goes well with the world, there will definitely be some soft openings in March and a grand opening no later than early April. But hopefully before the end of March.
Holidays.
Yeah. You got to make sure everything's going right before we feed the masses.
Yeah. There you go. Very good. Steve, thanks for coming in. Jessica, thanks for coming in as
Thank
well.
You.
We're going to look forward to seeing you guys a lot more. We never asked you where the name came from, but that's for the show that's dedicated to Brother Chimp.
Okay.
Lingo, thank you.
Yep.
Chuck, as always, thank you. Tom, as always, thank you.
You betcha.
He brought me also some other beer for my beer advent calendar, so that's a good man. Everybody has to raise their... Who needs a beer? Well, anyway, it doesn't matter.
We'll
find one. It's good night from me.
And good night from him.
And cheers.
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 Did I get everybody? Right. Hang on. Did I miss anything? Okay. That was a hell of a lot of sample glass
clinky-clanky.
Yeah. Clinky-clanky, yeah. Oh, hang on. Tom's telling me I got to ring the bloody bell. All right.
If you want us out.
Time, gentlemen, please. Any time you got, Holmes? Go on, get on to you, people. Go on, get out of here. Go on, bugger off. Okay, we're done.
Does that mean we can stay?
Yeah, that means we can open the rest of the red.
Yeah, right.
That was a marathon one.
Britain Yankee!
Britain Yankee! I'll have a pint, Doug. Go, give us a pint. You got any tetanus?
A pint, please, Bob. Give another pint, please, Bob.